The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as money changers who sat there. He made a whip out of cords and drove all of them out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and he spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." And his disciples recalled the word of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This temple had been under construction, they said, for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many came to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all. He did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Thinking about a theme for the homily today, I was prompted to look at the first reading, which comes from the book of Exodus, and to look at the commandments and wonder with you what the commandments really mean to us. And in reflecting on this and preparing for this reflection, I found it very enriching myself to go back and look at my relationship with the commandments over the years of my life. There are four references in the Old Testament to Moses and the commandments. They all belong to the Torah, the five books of the Old Testament that make up the Torah. In the book of Exodus, here we have our reading today from chapter 20. But read on in Exodus in chapter 32 to 34, you will find a lengthy reflection on Moses and the commandments. You will also find two references in the book of Deuteronomy, part of the Torah, chapter 5 to 10. And you'll find a second one also in verse 17. All of these put together will tell you one thing, which is very important to understand the commandments. And that is, the commandments were part of the covenant between God and his people. Therefore, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will be faithful to you, and you will be faithful to me in observing the covenant. You'll find a very graphic and forward statement about this in chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, where it says, "Remember this, hear, O Israel." This is a prayer, by the way, that all your synagogue prayer gatherings begin with, the Shema Israel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, and he alone is your God." Goes on to say, "Teach this to your children, speak of this at home and abroad. Bind it to your wrist. Let it be a pendant that hangs on your forehead. Place it on the doorstep, on the doorposts of your houses. And therefore, if you have Orthodox Jewish friends, you'll find that in the morning daily prayer, they attach what they call tefillin, or phylactery. It's a small box, a little cylinder that has the dictate of the law in it. Attach it to the wrist and on the forehead. They're called phylacteries or tefillin. And you'll also find in the doorstep or in the doorposts of your Jewish friends' homes a little cylinder attached that has the statement of the law, because that's part of the covenant. Don't forget that you are bound in relationship to God in the covenant. It's so fundamental to the Jewish tradition and fundamental to us. And one brief reference to Pope Francis dealing with his dialogue in Iraq with Islam. In the Quran, there is mention of Moses and the commandments, but they don't outline the commandments. They just make a reference to it. Because in the beginning of Islam, when Muhammad began to shape the Quran, it was to reform the Jewish and Christian misunderstanding of the scriptures. And therefore, they don't give full authority to God revealing in the scriptures. They have the five pillars of Islam. You know, they have faith and prayer and fasting, almsgiving, and the pilgrimage, which means their journey to the Hajj, the journey to Mecca. The five pillars to replace, as it were, the details of the Ten Commandments. So that's the background on this. Jesus speaks about this in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 and verse 17. He says this. He says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to bring it to fulfillment. And goes on in the Sermon on the Mount saying, go the extra mile, give the shirt off your back, forgive your enemies, turn the other cheek. And he gives all these dictates to carry out the relationship expressed in the covenant, which finds its statement in the commandments. Now, over the years, in each generation, the commandments are interpreted in various ways. When I was very young, and I learned the commandments, they were rigid legalistic laws that you were bound to follow. If you didn't follow these, you were in sin. And especially the sixth commandment, that was the big one. I mean, that was always the big one. I mean, I went to confession every week when I was a teenager. And whatever had to do with that sixth commandment, that was the last thing I threw out, like I told a lie, and I disobeyed my parents. And then I kind of sneak in this, whatever it was, and the sixth commandment at the end, hoping he wouldn't say, would you explain that to me? Oh, please. Don't ask me to explain it. I just snuck it in there at the end. That was always the big one. The others were like purgatory, but the sixth commandment, that was, you're entering the portals of hell if you break the sixth commandment. But that was the way we understood it. It was a legalistic type of rigidity about this. But now, to bring it into the present age, keep in mind the covenant. The relationship. The commandments do not have to do with law. The commandments have to do with relationship. Sin is not breaking a law. Sin is wounding or breaking a relationship. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God, don't worship false gods. I know we have the famous German legend of Faust. He sold his soul to Mephistopheles, the devil, so that he would enjoy all the pleasures of the world and he would be prosperous and live a long life. Now, you have to read Faust to find out exactly what happened to him. But in our age, people sell their souls all the time. I mean, if money is your God, people lie to make more money. People cheat. People do all sorts of things to get power, to get money, whatever it is, to have success. They compromise their soul for success. This is the false God. And therefore, that first commandment about honoring God as the center of your life has to do with relationship. It doesn't have to do with law. It's a wound in your relationship with God. It's a distance. It's a wandering from God. It's a place of confusion. It's a place of conflict. It's a place where you have worshipped something that is beneath the dignity of our relationship with God. The same thing in the sixth commandment. Adultery is not really about sex. Adultery is about betrayal. It's a betrayal, which means it wounds and destroys and hurts a relationship. You will remember in Dante's Inferno, when he goes into the ninth circle of hell, the deepest pit of hell, he meets two people, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and Brutus, who betrayed Caesar. Because betrayal to Dante was the greatest sin. That was the ultimate statement, not of breaking a law, but of breaking a relationship. Therefore, the law had to do with really expressing a relationship. Take the ninth, tenth commandment about coveting. Jealousy, greed, all these things are related to, and all these things wound relationships. They break community. Therefore, we should interpret the commandments in terms of relationship rather than in terms of law. You will find in your own journey of life that breaking the commandments is always involved in the issue of relationships. Greed, domineering, control, having the last word, whatever it is, breaking the kindness of God that's within you, the selfishness, all has to do with not breaking a law, it's wounding a relationship. Now, so we want to interpret the commandments in terms of relationship. You will find that the greatest wounds in your life and the greatest ecstasy in your life are somehow attached to core relationships. When we live in a society where people go hungry, where we have prejudice and we have racism, whatever we've got, it's not breaking a commandment. It's breaking a relationship with God's presence in other people. This is the way we must read following Jesus Christ and living out a life of honor and truth and dignity when we keep the commandments. When I look back on my life, and for whatever I have in my life for which I have remorse, or I'm sorry for something, or I failed or something, everything has to do with relationships. Doesn't have to do with law. Therefore, when you begin to reflect on the Word of God here dealing with the commandments, look in the mirror. Take a second look in the mirror, like I would. Who do you see? Do you like the person you see? Not just in a casual way. Take a second look. Who is this person? Is this person a person of honor and truth and dignity? Which means the person who follows the commandments. But Jesus says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to bring it to fulfillment. So how does the law find fulfillment in my life? I thought a lot about that when I was reflecting to offer these words of homily today. How the Lord has touched me in my life, and how I have needed forgiveness for wounding relationships or not breaking laws, for the unkindness or the selfishness or whatever it is in my life. You don't even think about commandments. You think about relationships. And therefore, in this season of penance and Lent, people think about confessing. What you're confessing always, always has something to do with relationships, not law. Amen.